Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And our pleasure to welcome into Sports Talk and SC Wild on this beautiful, hot Wednesday afternoon in South Carolina, the Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Good evening, Major. How are you, sir?
Very hot as you are, Billy. It's absolutely sweltering out here now.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah, but you know what? It's South Carolina. It was coming. We knew it was coming. It's here. But it's not here to stay, right? I think we kind of cool off a little bit next week.
Let's hope so, yes. Let's hope for a little cooler weather. But sure enough, it is hot, and folks are going to be out in the water. So tonight we're going to talk about boating regulations for a minute, one of the new changes in legislation that has been enacted that will be enforced this year. We'll have a little bit of a grace period, but we want to talk about that. And that's the basically the 50-foot rule, as most people know it as, from docks. In the past, you know, years, probably 20 years, it's been 50 foot from a dock. If you're within 50 feet of a dock, wharf, bridge, person in the water, you had to be at idle speed. Now, an idle speed, of course, is the slowest speed a boat can go and maintain steerage. That's what idle speed is defined as, the slowest speed and maintain steerage. Typically in a boat, that's taking that throttle and clicking it forward just into gear. And that's going to be idle speed. You don't want to see any wide or any froth behind a boat, or certainly no wake. So the no wake zone, as we hear, always talk about that also. But that has changed to 100 feet for most lakes on the lake. Want to go through a list of those. So in South Carolina, vessels may not be operated while upon the waters of Lake Greenwood, Lake Hartwell, Lake Jocassee, Lake Kiwi, Lake Marion, Lake Monticello, Lake Murray, Lake Robinson, Lake Russell, Lake Succession, Lake Thurman, Lake Watery, Fishing Creek Reservoir, Parr Reservoir, or the portion of the Savannah River from the Interstate 20 Savannah River Bridge to the new Savannah River Bluff and Lock and Dam, in excess of idle speed within 100 feet of an anchored vessel, wharf, pier, dock, or a person in the water.
Hmm.
So that's a bunch of different lakes, I know. Main thing, it does not affect those on Lake Moultrie. That was how the law was passed. Lake Moultrie was excluded from that. So Lake Moultrie will remain at 50 feet. The rest of the lakes in the state are at 100 feet. So if you're 100 feet from an anchor vessel, a dock, you need to be, or a person in the water, you're going to need to be at idle speed. Again, that's so you can control and be slow down and be safe within you know, that distance of a dock or someone else, plus the wakes. We just saw that the last 20 years we've seen such an increase in boating traffic across this state and boats that are heavier. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. Boats that are designed, we've talked about this before, Phil, the boats that are designed to make a wake, or the wake boats that are designed to ski behind or basically surf behind, they create such a large wake that we had to start looking at that. So the distance was moved across the state to 100 feet from a dock, from a person in the water, an anchor vessel, to make sure that people are at idle speed within that distance to prevent people from getting hurt from damage caused to docks or a personal watercraft or other boats tied up to personal docks. That was happening a lot, and so they felt like we needed to change that law and push it out to 100 feet. Interestingly enough, back in 1999, 2000, we passed that law. They were trying for 100 feet back then, and we went to 50. So now, just over time, we've seen the need to go to 100 feet. So that's the law there.
Why was Moultrie excluded?
So Moultrie was excluded from legislative-wise. It was not included in the law.
I mean, like why?
So just wasn't listed. Yep, wasn't listed. This was something that was put in place by some other folks some interested parties put in this. This wasn't actually something DNR sponsored. It was something, a lot of times there's a lot of legislation that we don't necessarily create, but we support. Does that make sense?
So absolutely.
Legislation that comes from interested parties on these lakes. There's a lot of noise of the upstate from some of the Lake Hartwell, Lake Kiwi, having a tremendous problem with wakes. And so the legislators are pushing to answer that complaint, to answer the needs of the constituents, to increase that safety distance. And DNR was all for that because we're always going to be in support of anything that makes the lake safer. And 100-foot rule from 50-foot, absolutely, we could see that make it safer. So we were supportive of that. In addition to that, it just seems like, boats are bigger today. We've talked about that. But when I started, a pontoon had a 75 on it. Then you start to see a 150, maybe a 125, 100, 110, 120. Now they've got 300s and 400s on them. They're unreal. So boats are bigger, motors are bigger, and we're creating more wakes. And as more people on the lakes, we've talked about that numerous times. How many people like to enjoy the waterways in South Carolina? And that increased traffic causes damage to the shoreline and to folks' docks and to boats tied up on docks. So you got to kind of back off those docks a little bit. You'd think that people would use common sense to back off those docks, but a lot of times we have to enact a law to enforce, good boating discipline, basically.
Let me ask you this. There might be a common sense answer to this question. By the way, our phone number, if you have a question, comment, reaction to what the major's talking about tonight, 888-898-2525. Get you right into Major Billy Downer talking about new laws on the lakes and safety for the boating. What makes or what can make a wake dangerous?
So, wakes, again, so wakes are created when boats push through the water. Just, it's a physics deal. For every action is equal and opposite reaction. Well, a boat cuts through the water, it creates a wave. Just like throwing a pebble on the water, it creates that wave. So typically there's a point when you're accelerating a boat, there's a kind of a point where that boat gets really low in the water before it picks back up. When you're pushing down that throttle, that boat kind of bogs down and it really pushes a wave out. And then you push up the speed and it gets up and the wave dissipates. But even at high speeds though, there are, there's a wake problem there, even at high speed. So it depends on each boat's a little different and how much they draft. In other words, how much water do they displace when a boat, how deep does a boat sit in the water, all affects how much wake it creates. That creates the resistance against the water. So that it's not a dumb question, Phil. It's actually, one that people don't understand. They go out and buy boats. They don't know, each boat's a little different. Every boat mate doesn't create the same wake. And so you have to learn the speed that your boat can operate to meet the no wake requirement. Typically no wake zones are in areas where there's lots of people, where there's high boating traffic, like in and out of the landing, gassing facilities, where you're trying to refuel boats, restaurants, things like that, or very constricted space. And we try to look at those, constantly to determine what the needs are for each lake and waterway. But, in excess of that, again, within 100 feet of a shoreline of that dock, or a boat, that was a change. Now is you have to be at idle speed. Again, idle speed is not creating a wake. So let's talk about wakes for a minute and wake boats. The difference in a wake boat is it is designed to create a large wake. They have ballasts in the boat that literally take on water, and the boat pumps water into a chamber, which creates a weight in the rear of the boat, pushes the back of the boat down, and makes this huge wave, which is great if you're wanting to surf, or if you're wanting to kneeboard, or all the various types of. There's so many different types of things out there to ride on the waves now. It's not for riding a tube now. It's for skiing, doing tricks, kneeboarding, surfing. And when I say surfing, you can actually take a surfboard, step off the back of the boat onto a surfboard, and surf without a rope. it creates that big a wake. And it's become quite popular. Those boats are very expensive, very nice, got a lot of power. They have nice stereo systems. They blast music, so people complain about that too.
Mm-hmm.
But they've become so popular, particularly on the, and I don't know why, whether it's Clemson or just college, Hartwell, Kiwi, it's gotten real popular on upstate lakes. It is also popular here on Lake Murray and other lakes you may know of, but really up there, really popular is deep lakes. Folks are really liking the wake boats. It's gotten popular to do the wake surfing. And again, so when you're creating this big wave, and I say a big wave, I'm talking about 5-10 foot, literally. I mean, it can be a 5 foot wave easy behind these boats, from the bottom to the top. That wave takes so much longer to dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
So you could literally be, out 150 feet, and that wave's going to be pretty large when it reaches your dock. So in this law also, they passed it that you must be 200 feet away from a moored vessel, wharf, dock, bulkhead, pier, or person in the water if you are wake surfing. The definition of wake surfing. Wake surfing means to operate a vessel that is ballasted in the stern so as to create a wake that is, or is intended to be, surfed by another person. So let's clarify that for a minute. So what that's saying is wake surfing is defined as operating a vessel that is ballasted. That's that ability to hold water in compartments in the back of the boat. It's just in the stern, that's the rear, to create a wake that is or is intended to be surfed by another person. So the point for me breaking that wording down is this. If you are wake surfing, in the act of wake surfing, with somebody actively on a surfboard or surfing behind one of these boats or skiing behind one of these boats, when it has got a ballast full of water and it is creating a large wake, you have got to be outside of 200 feet.
Hmm.
Now, if everybody's in the boat, we still got the ballast full of water, you still got to be outside of 200 feet because that boat is ballasted and intended to create a large wake. If that boat, they pump the water out and it's a normal boat and normal draft, then you can get inside of 200 feet. But that boat, if it's full of water, doesn't matter if you're pulling somebody or not, if it's basically at the point where it could be surfed behind because of the wake it's creating, you have to be outside of 200 feet of a dock. And honestly, 200 feet is pretty liberal, but that's that wake's still big, honestly. But that's the law now, 200 feet.
How is this going to be enforced by DNR agents around the state?
That's a great question. So when we have changes like this, what we typically do is we have what we call a grace period. And what our officers will do, we'll warn folks, they'll try to educate people. It's a period of education. So we will stop boats. We see them doing something wrong initially. We're going to try to educate them, let them know what the law is. Hey, did you know the law has changed? This is what the rule is. They may get a warning ticket. Well, they're written a warning. Hey, this is what we're letting you know. Now, we give a grace period. We try to do what we can to help the public understand because everybody doesn't, hear the news. We know that. They get out in the boats. We're trying to give them a grace period. But eventually, this law is going to be enforced. It's going to be this year. And if folks get out there and you've been warned once or twice, you expect to get a ticket for if you keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Ticket would run how much?
Tickets on this start probably at least $150 and go up from there.
Hey.
Yeah. So tickets have gotten it more, and people get upset about tickets and how expensive they are, but what they don't understand is our ticket fees, we have nothing to do. The fine may be $50, and a $50 fine ends up being $170 on a ticket because of court fees, assessments, victims advocate fund, things that all that money goes into.
Hmm.
$25 fine is $110.
What do you think is DNR's record? Let's just say you give somebody a ticket, but they want to fight it. Is it like the highway patrol? You just go to like regular magistrate's court and fight it out there?
All of our court is done in magistrate level court. for the most part, except for some of our more serious offenses like night hunting. But Magistrate's Court is where your boating violations are taken, you're going to traffic court. It's the same court.
Mm-hmm.
We're in there all the time with troopers, deputies, whatever, city police, all hearing our cases. Sometimes now, typically we have a day that the judges want to hear our cases. So as always, in this great country we live in, you got the opportunity to go state your case
mm-hmm.
before the judge, and you can give your explanation. The officer will give his side of the story, and the judge will make a determination and move on from there.
Let me ask you this.
Now, so you're kind of asking, do we always get a guilty verdict? No, we don't always get a guilty verdict.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of reasons why you may not. But I would hope, as I did, that when we make a case, we're making it in good faith, doing the right thing, trying to, to enforce the law and uphold safety on the waterway, because that's what folks want. They want to be able to go out in the water and have a safe day. And the unfortunate result of breaking a rule on the water is you may end up with a ticket or a fine, which is meant to hopefully teach you a lesson to remember not to do that again.
Now, I can speak from experience here, but you get a traffic citation, you show up in court, oftentimes you can meet with the officer before it gets to the judge, and y'all can kind of like negotiate it down, cut the points, maybe cut the fine, whatever, and sign off and walk away. Does that happen with the DNR side of things?
There's always that opportunity to talk to an officer, yes.
Okay.
And talk about, that happens, yes. But there is a minimum fine, though, that we cannot go below. And so that's that kind of that break point. And the judge can do what he wants to do. And the judge always has a leniency there. And every county is a little different on that, how the judges run their court. But typically your fines, again, run from $110 to $170 and then on up to $425.
All right.
Or even $1,000. Just depends.
Well, let's just cut it off right there with that. We got some people with some questions or comments for you. They probably have had to pay a ticket. I'm just guessing here. So stand by. Let's go to Tom in Sumter. Tom, welcome in. You're on SCY with Major Billy Downer.
Thank you. I do some crabbing in the marsh in North Myrtle Beach, and I had a nephew give me a John boat that's just been in his yard for probably 15, 20 years that I want to get out on the water legally, but there's no real paperwork. It's just been in his yard. What's the protocol I would need to go through if I've got like this boat that's just been sitting in the yard forever, but there's no paper tracing it back to when, it was on the water before? What do I need to do?
Right. All right. So this is a very common question. It's a great question, Tom. Let me go through it. So let me ask you a couple questions. Your John boat, does it have numbers on the front, like registration numbers on it?
No, sir.
It doesn't have registrations. It has nothing. It's just plain.
Yes, sir.
So you could be lucky enough to have a boat that's never been registered before. That's going to make it easier. On the back of that boat, on the stern, on the back, on the transom, there's going to be a number. It's like a serial number. That's your whole ID number. You're going to need to take a picture of that and bring that with you. You can print. So you print your boat and paperwork out online.
Okay.
You can print it. You go to boating. Go to scdnr.sc.gov.
Yes, sir.
dnr.sc.gov. Go to the boating page icon. You'll see boat tying registration. There's going to be a print. The first option is print page one, which is going to be your registration paperwork. So you pull your name out, and if it's never been registered and you're the first to register it, it makes it easier. Typically with older boats sometimes, though, there's always something that comes up that nobody knew that this boat actually did get registered and nobody knew it. But the only way to find out is to run that whole ID number. Take a picture of that whole ID number, bring it to our boating office, the titling division there. Don't know if you're in Sumter, the closest place, you can either go to Florence or you can go to Columbia. I would suggest probably going to Columbia to the farmer's market. Bring the picture of that whole ID number, and they can run that and check and make sure it hadn't been registered before.
I've been to Florence. They're pretty efficient down there. I think I'll go down there.
Yes, but take a picture. Remember, take a picture of the rear of that boat with the whole ID number. If you can't find the whole ID number, you'll give us a call back. We'll try to help you through that. But it's typically on the right rear side of the boat. It's on that transom.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Start with that. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Let's go to stay on the phones here with the Major, Billy Downer, SC Wild on Sports Talk. Bobby in Newberry, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Phil. Hey, Major. How are y'all doing tonight?
How are you doing, Bobby? What's your question tonight?
Doing great. Appreciate everything you guys do. My question is, you're talking about boats, and we have a place up on Lake Greenwood, which was included in your scenario you said earlier. Where does personal watercraft and jet skis fall into that 100-foot weight rule?
Same thing. They have to, all boats, that would be them. So Personal watercraft are included in that. They are going to now need to be 100 feet away from a dock, person in the water, boat at anchor, unless they're at idle feet.
They have to be at idle, correct?
Yes, they're within 100 feet. If they're within 100 feet, you'd be at idle. So, remember, going to be an educational period. Try to teach people that, but eventually we're going to start enforcing that. But, yes.
There you go. But I appreciate that because I'm sure, and that may be something you want to, express a little bit more, that personal watercraft and jet skis are included as a boat in this 100-foot weight rule.
Any boat now. So, basically, any boat under power now has got to be at 100 feet. If they're outside,
you,
if they're above idle speed. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Phil.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate that phone call. So was this generated? We got about a minute, Major, maybe 90 seconds.
Yep.
All of this, was it generated by homeowners who were tired
yes.
of boats? Okay, go tell us about that.
Absolutely. So, the way our laws work in this state, the legislature writes the laws, we enforce the laws. We have input in that process a lot of times. We have a pretty good relationship with our legislature from a law enforcement perspective, and they're very supportive of the mission we do. Just like in the case of this law, the boating safety law is going through that may pass it. It's constituent-driven. Folks, see a problem. They talk to their legislator. Legislator, listens to their problem, creates a bill that's presented, and then, we get a chance to look at it again. In this case, it was obvious this was a good idea to increase safety on our waterways, and so it just passes through. And it took 2 years to get through. Typically, it can take that long. Different questions get risen, and there's the process that it goes through. But that law was signed by the governor this year, and it will go into effect. It goes into effect now, so we'll be looking at that new law this year again across the state, 100 feet. From a dock, person in the water, boat at anchor, on most all lakes in the state except for Lake Moultrie.
Great stuff, Major. Great stuff. Great information. Hope people learned about it. And we will look forward to getting back with you in a couple of weeks and dive into more important issues about the great outdoors, boating, hunting, and fishing around the state of South Carolina. Look forward to being back with you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Major. Thank you very much. Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources, SC Wild, here on Sports Talk. Pat, did you learn something from that? Because I know you are a big, you're big on skis and jet skis and things like that, aren't you?
I am. I've been on the water my whole life. I'm a licensed captain and just very much so am a proponent of boater safety. So I always learn something new with the Major, and just really appreciate him being on the program with us. A lot of great information there, and it's nice that we had some engagement with some callers tonight too.
You're a boat captain?
I am. We haven't talked about that.
Should we start calling you captain?
Oh, captain, my captain. Well, I ran a boat rental company up in Massachusetts for 6 years, and I learned very quickly that a lot of folks don't know how to operate a boat.
Duh.
And they would appreciate hiring somebody else to do it for them. And so I saw that as an opportunity to make a few bucks and figured it was worth it, and wasn't that tough. Yeah.
Great stuff from Major Downer. He is the best in the business. We appreciate him being with us. Hopefully you learn. I tell you what, since we have been doing this series with him going back several years, I've learned so much about the outdoors. Number one is never put your hand around an alligator, or you'll come back handless, armless, or even worse. Just one of the many lessons. All right, that'll do it. Have a great night. Look forward to Thursday here on Sports Talk. We'll have another big one for you.